So, now we come to the last stage of the chapter 4, which is how to get rid of these defilements or kleshas. And this is from stanza number 43. Last time we said that we went through 43, but 43 actually is in this section. It says, "This shall be my all-consuming passion. Filled with the rancor, I will wage my war." Now, because I see how harmful these negative emotions or the defilements are, so therefore it should be my kind of one-pointed or consuming passion, my only kind of goal, and to get rid of these mind poisons, and I should work on it with with great kind of force, like waging a war, waging a war filled with rancor, with complete dedication and complete kind of hatred. You know, when you wage a war with, then you do that. So in this way, we should work to get rid of our negative emotions. Now, then the question asked is, is it right that you should have that much of, you know, aversion feeling towards these negative emotions? Because that itself is negative, so therefore it is not good. There it says, "Defilement of this kind will halt defilement, and for this reason it shall not be spurned." Of course, eventually we have to get rid of this kind of aversion or strong rancor or strong passion against negative emotions also. But for the time being, it's very necessary that if I really have that kind of strong passion or strong one-pointed dedication to wage a war against my defilements, then it helps. So therefore, that kind of passion or that kind of dedication, I am not going to spurn, I'm not going to get rid of for the time being. But eventually, when I understand how to actually work with my negative emotions in a clear way, then naturally this will go away. And then, you know, this kind of strong negative, what can you say? Maybe you can't say negative, but this kind of passion or rancor or, you know, maybe aversion will naturally cease. So therefore, it is not necessary that we have to be too careful that we should not have this kind of feeling of, you know, of you know, seeing the negativity of the negative emotions and fear that we have too much that. We don't have to fear that too much. And better if I perish in the fire. This is stanza number 44. Better if I perish in the fire. Better that my head be severed from my body, than ever I should serve or reverence my mortal enemies, defiled emotions. So this is kind of the attitude, the passionate, consuming, passionate attitude of waging war against these defiled emotions or negative emotions, that I would, you know, fight against it, I would work against it, I would get rid of it, I would eliminate it from me, you know, whatever, at whatever cost. It is better if I perish in the fire than submit to these defiled emotions. Better that my head be severed from my body than submit and become the slave of my defiled or mind poisons. So whatever may happen, I'm not going to become the slave of this mind poisons or negative emotions, because if I become that, then I will never be able to help myself, and I will never be able to liberate myself from suffering, and I will never be able to help anybody also. So therefore, it is extremely important, extremely necessary to work one-pointedly in order to free myself from this, from the influence and taking over of my kleshas. Now then the question becomes that if it is that bad, if it is that negative, if it is that, you know, harmful to us, these negative emotions or kleshas, then it must be really difficult. Maybe it's impossible to get rid of them. And then it says in stanza number 45, common fools, when driven from the state, retreat and base themselves in other lands, and muster all their strength, the better to return. But enemy afflictions are without such stratagems. Now, you know, this negative emotion, the kleshas, are actually not that difficult actually to get rid of, it says. Like for common foes, common enemies, if I have a common human enemy, for instance, and if I wage war against them or do something, and even if I manage to drive them away from the state or the place where I live, usually what they do is they will retreat from this place. They will go away from this place where I am now, if they are defeated by me. But they go to another place, get another base for themselves, in another land. And then there, they will again, you know, kind of do something to master all their kind of strength, get all my enemies together, or get friends together, or master their own, you know, kind of army, put their armies together, and then, you know, try to again return and attack me again. This usually happens with human enemies. But my kleshas, if I am able to, although they are very harmful to me, if I submit to them, and if I become their slave, then they are very, very harmful. But if I don't become slave to them, and I don't submit them, and then these afflictions, my enemy who are these kleshas or afflictions are not like these human beings. They have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go. There is nothing to go. They don't, you know, stay somewhere else and try to kind of gather or muster their strength again. If I really am able to do something, if I can really understand their nature and, you know, I can eliminate it from my mind with the eyes or the sword of my wisdom, then they cannot return. There is nothing to return. There is nothing to make them strong again. There is no stratagem. There is nobody who is kind of trying to gather their strength and, you know, attack me again. And there is nothing. They are actually very weak. They are very strong when I am weak. When I am strong, there is no strength of these negative emotions. And so therefore, there is nothing kind of who is kind of working behind my back and try to kind of attack me again. And this kind of thing is not there. They're actually, once I can eliminate them, they are gone and do not necessarily return unless I don't know how to deal with them. So therefore, it's 46, stanza number 46, miserable defilements scattered by the eye of wisdom. Where will you now run when driven from my mind? Whence would you return to do me harm? But oh, my mind is feeble. I am indolent. So these defilements are actually, there's nothing there. There's nothing outside my mind. There's nothing inside my mind. They are not anywhere else. Their nature is emptiness. So therefore, you know, if I really, they are miserable. They are not strong. They actually seems very strong. They are made strong by myself, my own weakness, my own ignorance, my own wrong way of seeing. That is making my defilements or my negative emotions strong. Otherwise, there is no strength. They are miserable. And so therefore, if I have the eye of wisdom, if I can have a little bit of wisdom, then this wisdom can totally scatter them, totally kind of uproot them, totally, you know, eliminate them. And where will you now run? There is nowhere for them to run away. It's just gone. Because it's not there in a way. So once I drive it out of my mind, once I get rid of my fear of them, once I, refuse to become their slave, and, you know, get rid of this addiction I have to that, then they have no strength. Then the strength of my negative emotion is my own addiction. So therefore, when I get rid of them from my mind, then whence would you return to do me harm? They cannot return. They cannot return to do me any harm because they are not there. But, oh, my mind is feeble. They are so strong, they make lots of problems to me and harm to me because my mind is feeble. I am indolent, means I am not strong, I am stupid, I am ignorant. That's why these negative emotions are so strong. So therefore, how to get rid of them is through the eye of wisdom, seeing their nature. That's why then we go to this stanza number 47. Defilements are not in the object, nor within the faculties, nor somewhere in between. And if not elsewhere, where is their abode? Whence they inflict their havoc on the world? The simple mirages, so take heart. Banish all your fear and strive to know their nature. Why suffer needlessly the pains of hell? So these defilements, these negative emotions, where are they? It's not on the object, like object of anger, object of lust or attachment. It's not there because the same object will sometimes give you anger and sometimes not. Sometimes give you attachment and sometimes not. Sometimes give you jealousy and other things and sometimes not. So it's not on the object. Nor within the faculties. They are not in my faculties also. And neither, you know, because my faculties are always there. And if it is in my faculties, then I should always have them, but I don't have them. So, and then where else? It can't be in between them also, because there's nothing in between them. And if not elsewhere, where is their abode? Where do they reside? There is nowhere to reside. So therefore, they are like, you know, appearances and emptiness. They are interdependently arising. They are coming out of my mind when kind of all the negative causes and conditions are there, but actually they don't really exist. Their nature is emptiness. They don't really exist. They are just a creation of my own mind, coming out of wrong way of reacting. So therefore, actually, they are, you know, this like whence they inflict the havoc on the world. There's actually, it's a delusion. It's a delusion. There's nothing else. They are simple mirages. It seems to be there, but when you actually look, it's not there. The mirage is a kind of illusion. So all these negative emotions are also an illusion, a delusion. There's nothing there. It's a wrong way of seeing. So therefore, you know, if you really understand, it's not so difficult to get rid of, because it's a wrong way of seeing. It's a wrong way of reacting. There's nothing there so strong and so dominant and so concrete. So therefore, take heart. We don't have to be so afraid that, because we know how negative they are, how harmful they are, but it's not, you know, it's not that they are so strong at the end. If you really know how to, you know, how to understand, how to really look at their true nature. So therefore, banish all your fear and strive to know their nature. We have to know their nature. Because if you know their nature, if you know it's like that, then, you know, there's no reason why we can't let them go. Because we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to become, you know, a slave of something that's not there. So why suffer needlessly the pain of hell? We don't need to suffer. There's no need to. And even the sufferings of hell is created by this negative emotion. So therefore, we don't have to go through that. This is how, this is the last stanza, 48. This is how I should reflect and labor, that I might apply the precepts thus set forth. So this is how I should understand And then I should not just have this as in view, as an understanding, but I must use this understanding. I must train on this understanding. I must meditate on this understanding. I must really apply this understanding and then, you know, take it as my way of life, as my precept. And if I do that, if I work on that, if I train on that with the same, you know, dedication that and passion that we discussed before, then there will be no problem actually overcoming this problem. Therefore, the suffering of this samsara. But what invalid in need of medicine ignored their doctor's words and gained their health? So this is the teachings of the Buddha and this is the truth. So therefore, we need to understand this and we need to use this. Because what invalids or the patients, when a patient goes to see the doctor and the doctor, a good doctor, gives them medicines and instructions on how to get rid of their disease. And then if they want to get health and get rid of this disease, then they cannot ignore the medicines or the instructions of the doctor. But they should do as the doctor says and take the medicines, and then they will become cured of their disease. So in the same way, if we really take these instructions, take these methods that has been prescribed by the great masters who have actually gone through experiences of uprooting the defilements, and then there will be no problems, there will be no difficulties, no obstructions or obstacles to actually uproot our negative emotions. But we have to work on it with carefulness, with kind of we have to be present, you know. That's why, you know, this carefulness or the payu is very, very important. Payu is actually being, you have to have the presence of the mind, you know, presence of the mind, presence. You know, you have to have the senses always there, you know, the presence of the mind. The mind has to be there. And with that kind of understanding and experience and the kind of training, then it's possible to be able to accomplish this great task of freeing ourselves from the suffering of the samsara and get the lasting peace and happiness. And now this is the fourth chapter, the chapter on payu, what is translated here as the carefulness. But this is more like a presence of the mind. So that's it. Thank you.